You will take your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And as you turn to our text, I want to begin by asking you, what is faith? What is faith? We hear the word faith spoken from the pulpit almost every Lord's Day. But do we know what it means? Christ's church throughout history has forcefully declared that it believes that sinful men can only be declared righteous by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. But I'm asking you this morning, what is faith? God's word says that without faith, it is impossible to be a true follower of Christ. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's word says that without faith, we cannot know the blessing of God in our lives. So I ask you, what is faith? If you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a born-again believer. You have the charge from Jesus Christ Himself to tell others of His willingness to save. And in your zeal to tell others of the gospel, how do you explain what faith is? What is faith? The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." We can have peace with God through Christ being justified by faith. Jesus Christ declares that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we ask this morning, what does it mean to believe? What is faith? In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, God provides us with the answer so that we might know if the faith that we profess is true saving faith. And what better person for God to illustrate what faith is than Abraham, the father of faith? We read here, Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, that he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What is faith? Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. What is faith? First, faith is believing God is. Faith is believing God is. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. It is not the act of faith that saves. It is the object of faith that saves. I'm sure most of us have heard it said before, faith is only as good as its object. And there are many in this world who have faith in absolutely nothing. They believe that they are here by chance, that man has no purpose in life, no worth, and no eternal soul. There are others in this world who have faith in gods that are no gods at all. Some who worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth as their god. Others worship material possessions such as trees and stones and handcrafted figures. Still others have faith in false deities. There are countless millions in our world who yield their allegiance to false gods named Vishnu, Allah, Muhammad, Shiva, and Brahma. There are many in our nation who have faith in false Christs. They say that they worship Jesus, but the Jesus that they are worshiping is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Mormon and Jehovah's Witness cult claim to preach Christ, But their Christ is not the divine, sinless, unchanging Creator and Savior who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. True faith, as revealed in the Bible, is faith that rests in the one and only true and living God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the self-existing giver of life, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is one in essence, three in persons, who is the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and sovereign ruler over every detail of life. And if you do not have faith that this God, the God that I am describing to you now, your faith is empty, useless, and unbeneficial to your soul. What is faith? Faith is believing that God is. Second, faith is believing God can. Specifically, that God can fulfill the promises He makes. Abraham staggered not at what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, God here cracks the egg a little bit further to give us further truth, to give us the yoke of truth. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was faithful to perform. So Abraham believed not only that God is and God was. Abraham believed that God could. What specifically was the promise given to Abraham? Well, in regards to his salvation, Abraham believed in the promise that God would send a Savior into the world to die for his sin. The proto-evangelium, the promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the promise given to Adam and Eve when they fell, the promise of the coming Messiah, was the promise handed down to the fathers, to the nation of Israel, and it was this echoing promise, the promise of a Savior, that Abraham believed for his own soul's sake. He believed that God made a promise, the promise of salvation, and that God was powerful enough to keep the promise that He made. And so what did Abraham do? Abraham cast his full confidence for his soul's sake on the promise that Jesus would be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, no man is accepted before God in his own righteousness. Abraham was not accepted by God because of his own goodness. No, it was Abraham's faith in the power of God to provide a Savior that brought him righteousness. This righteousness was not his own. This righteousness was given by God through the Messiah, yes, even in the Old Testament. We see also this promise of faith in regards to his heritage and being a father of many nations. You'll recall in the beginnings of Genesis that God tells Abraham that he will be a father of many nations. And at first it seemed like an impossible task. Abraham was past the age of producing children. His wife Sarah was past the age. But what is impossible with men is possible with God. And Abraham eventually, the Bible tells us, believed. He staggered not at the promise of being a father of many nations. He staggered not at this promise, but he was fully persuaded that God was capable of performing that which he could not. What is faith? Faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God can. So Abraham is resting on the promises of God. Faith is resting fully, not on what we can do, but faith is resting fully on God's revelation, on what God has said. Our third point, faith is believing God will. What is faith? Faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God can. Faith is believing that God will. And under our third point, let me provide you with two illustrations. Think for a moment of an elevator. You're in the lobby of a hotel, and there is an elevator before you. You are in a shopping center, and there is an elevator before you with several levels. As you step outside the doors of this machine that goes up and down, what thoughts do you consider before you step on that elevator? First, you acknowledge that the elevator is, that it is indeed an elevator and not a closet, right? You don't want to be tricked into walking through doors only to find yourself in a dark closet. This is not an elevator, this is a closet. What am I doing? This will not get me to the next level. And so before we step on an elevator, we must confess that this indeed is an elevator. Then before you step on the elevator, you must be persuaded that the elevator can, that it has the ability to hold up your weight, that it has the ability to take you from one floor to the next. And then you must believe that the elevator will take you up to the next floor. And it is only when you are fully persuaded of these things that you step on the elevator and press that desirous button. Right? You believe that the elevator is. You believe that the elevator can. And then as you step on, you believe that the elevator will. Suppose you were to jump out of a perfectly good airplane in a skydiving adventure. What would you need to avoid death? You would need a parachute. And what process would you take before putting on the parachute? First, you must acknowledge that the parachute is, that it is indeed a parachute and not a backpack full of scissors and erasers and crayons and notebooks. Right? Is this indeed a parachute? Yes, it is. Before you jump out of the plane, then you need to acknowledge, does this parachute have the capability of gliding me down to earth safely? You acknowledge that the parachute not only is, but that the parachute can. And then you must believe that the parachute will. And it is only when you are fully persuaded of these things that you then put on the parachute and then jump out of the plane. And so it is with salvation. We are commanded to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to avoid the wages of sin, which is death. We are commanded, like Noah, to enter the ark, as it were, to avoid the pending judgment of God. Noah had to believe that the ark was, that the ark could, and when the door was open and he went in, he believed that the ark will save. And so it is with believing on Christ. We need to believe that Christ is who He says He is, that Christ can save us, yea, that Christ will save us. And resting the entire keeping of our soul on Him, we cast our burden upon the Lord. What is faith? Faith is believing God is. Faith is believing God can. Faith is believing God will. Said another way, faith is resting completely on God's person, God's promises, and God's power. That's what Abraham did. Abraham believed in God's person. Abraham believed in God's promises, and Abraham believed in God's power to fulfill his promises. Let me illustrate this further. Think of those in the gospel who came to the Lord Jesus Christ asking for healing. What was it that persuaded them to go to Christ? They believed that Christ was, they believed that Christ could, they believed that Christ would. Listen to the testimony of the leprous man recorded in the first chapter of Mark. The Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That's the old King James archaic language. Thou can, you can make me clean. Think of those two blind men who came to Christ saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. Thou Son of David, Jesus, have mercy upon us. We are blind, we cannot see." And the Bible says, "And when he, Jesus, was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." What is faith? Faith is believing that Jesus Christ is able to do what we cannot do. The leprous man in Mark chapter 1 and the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9 were fully persuaded in the power of Jesus Christ. And listen, church, true salvation is looking away from self and fully relying on God's person, God's promises, and God's power. That's what faith is. Now, there are some here this morning who have not casted their soul fully in Christ's power to save. There are many who are troubled in spirit and say, "I am not sure when I came to Christ if I was sincere enough. I am not sure if my prayer included all the right words. I do not think I have all the right feelings that a Christian should have. I do not feel if I have acquired all the knowledge to be a Christian." And to such people, I want to lovingly yet boldly declare that the saving of the soul is not dependent upon your sincerity, your prayers, your feelings, your knowledge, your trying, your earnestness, or anything that you have done or could do. The saving of the soul involves God by His Spirit bringing you full persuasion that what He has promised, He is able to perform. And what has God promised? He has promised that all who come to Him in faith, He will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ has promised the forgiveness of sin for those who repent of their wicked ways and cleave only to what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. That is what faith is. Faith is saying, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. There's nothing I can bring to God that He might give me eternal life. There's nothing that I can bring to God that would persuade Him to like me. It is only believing that God has made a promise and God is powerful to keep that promise for you." Amen. That's what faith is. Faith, full persuasion in God, listen, is not our own doing. There is no amount of psyching ourselves up. There's no amount of chanting in a corner, "Have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith. Do I have enough faith now? I hope so, I hope so. I don't know." Abraham did not psych himself up. Abraham did not chant in a corner until he believed. It was not his doing, but he cast himself completely on God's person, God's promises, and God's power, and it was that that brought righteousness to his soul. Jesus said to the sick of the palsy, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." That you would know that Jesus is, that Jesus can, and Jesus will. Let me ask you this morning, do you know? Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you know that Jesus can save your soul? Do you know that Jesus will save your soul if you come to Him in faith and humble confession? And do you know that Jesus has saved your soul? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded," just like Abraham, "I am persuaded that" who's Abel? I'm Abel? Oh, you see? You see the connection? "I am persuaded that he's Abel, that he has the power to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Faith is believing that Jesus Christ has the power to wash away sin. Faith is believing that Jesus Christ has the power to make us into a new creation. That Jesus Christ, as the great physician, can take away that stony heart of rebellion and give us a heart of flesh that leads to obedience. Faith is believing that Jesus Christ died in your place, bearing the wrath of God, so that you might not taste eternal judgment. Faith is believing that Jesus is willing to be the mediator between you and God. Faith is believing in His death, burial, and resurrection. It is believing that the gospel is sufficient. If you cannot answer my questions in the affirmative as to do you know that Jesus is God, that Jesus can save your soul and Jesus will save your soul, let me ask you this way. Will you now believe that Jesus is who He says He is? Will you now believe that Jesus can save your soul? Will you now believe that Jesus will save your soul? The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. You must seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. If you have not yet placed your faith and trust in Christ, why not do it now? He's inviting you through this preaching sermon to come to Him. He's revealing to you what faith is, what the saving faith involves. It involves, like the elevator, to cast your full confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, it's not half and half. Well, it's me and my baptism. It's me and my good works. It's me and my sincerity and my prayers. No. Just like it is with the elevator. You put one foot on the elevator, another foot off. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to bonk your head and be injured. You cut the parachute in half. Well, it's half the parachute and half of my power to flap. What's going to happen? You're going to experience the hardest thing you've ever known, the ground. Let me give you a few final thoughts on faith as we draw to a conclusion. We have already established what faith is. Faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God can. Faith is believing that God will. Now, let me make sure you understand where faith rests and where faith leads to. First, true faith does not rest on knowledge alone. True faith does not rest on knowledge alone. How do I know this? The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe that God is God. The devils believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ. Satan and his demonic host are solid theologians. Even they are not so foolish to become professing atheists. And though they believe in God with their head, Satan and his wicked hosts will be condemned forever. And there are many who believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus died on the cross for sins, and yet they are still lost and on their way to hell. How can this be? Well, their faith is only a faith of the head, a faith of the intellect, a faith of knowledge. But faith does not rest on knowledge alone. True saving faith, yes, rests in knowledge, but it also rests in the heart and in the soul of a man. True faith, saving faith, is given by God that transforms the heart. The difference between Christians and demons, our Christians have been transformed by the power of God, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. And the faith that leads to salvation is a supernatural working of the Spirit that not only brings understanding to the mind, but brings transformation to the soul. Do you see, the Pharisees knew a lot about truth. Judas knew a lot about the Bible. Did he have faith? Not true saving faith. He had knowledge, but not transformation. True faith does not rest on knowledge alone, and there are many who are content with coming to church, many who are content with not giving their heart to the Lord. Well, I know, I grew up, I went to the Christian school, I went to a Christian institute, I'm intellectual, I know. And the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Faith does not rest in knowledge alone. This leads to our second concluding consideration. True faith transforms. Did the faith of the leper transform him? Did the faith of the blind men transform them? True saving faith that is given by God is a faith that changes every part of our person. It changes our will, our desires, our thoughts, our outlook on life, our purpose for living. And if you are in Christ, you know this to be true. There has not been one person who has come to Christ in faith who has not been radically transformed by God. And there will never be one person who believes on Christ who will not be radically transformed by God. Now, there have been counterfeit Christians who profess that they know Christ who continue in sin and live as they please. There's no change, but that's a counterfeit faith. Those who have true faith in Jesus Christ have experienced what we call conversion. All things passing away, behold, all things becoming new. The one who dwelt in darkness is now walking in the light. The one who was under the dominion of Satan is now under the dominion of God. The one who was the enemy of God is now the friend of God. Conversion, true faith transforms. And then true faith perseveres. True faith perseveres. True faith keeps believing God is. True faith keeps believing God can. True faith keeps believing God will. And I do not mean that the Christian will never doubt. I do not believe that this means that Christians will never have any worries, because they do. But I do mean that the true Christian will never ultimately deny God's existence. The true Christian will never completely cast off God's word. The true Christian will never fully deny God's power, especially in regards to Christ's work in salvation. I met a young man early 30s years ago in Seattle. We had a soul winning booth set up there at the community center in South Seattle. And a young man, very, very miserable in his looks, comes up to the table, glances at our tracts, and says, "I used to be a Christian." I said, "I'm sorry, sir, there's no used to be a Christian. You either are a Christian or you're not." "No, I used to be a Christian. I grew up in church. I used to believe these things, but now I'm a full-blown atheist." And I said, "Your doctrinal understanding is warped. If you were a Christian, you are a Christian. But it sounds like that you were a counterfeit Christian, that you merely believed with your mind, but you were not transformed in your soul, because true saving faith perseveres. The just man may fall, and he may fall 7 times, but the just man gets up. And he does not get up on his own power. He gets up because the good shepherd seeks after his soul, and the good shepherd, by his power, raises him up." Paul said, He who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave the parable. Will not the good shepherd leave the 99 to seek after the one? Is God so unjust that he would leave his children to live successfully on the pathways of hell? No. Those who have true saving faith are kept not by their own power, not by their own position, not by their own performance. Peter says those who have exercised faith in God are kept by the power of God. True faith perseveres. True faith continues in obedience. All you have to do is look at Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, and to see the men and women acknowledged there for their faith. And God is not uplifting the men and women to behold their example, but what God is doing there is God is showing you, yes, even in the faults and failures of these men and women, their faith was not dependent upon them. Their faith was dependent upon their God. Hebrews 11 is a testimony of God's power and not man's. Let me conclude by asking you the question that I started with. What is faith? I hope you can answer my question biblically now. But more importantly, I hope you can say, I have true saving faith in Jesus Christ.